This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sean Devaney, NBA writer for the Sporting News, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Sean, how you been, buddy?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing really well. So the Bucks have a little bit of a stumble against Orlando the other night. No Giannis. They didn't shoot the ball well. We get it. There's winning streak snapped, but... around here, people are now starting to use the word Bucks and Eastern Conference Finals in the same sentence. Should they be doing that? Rightfully so.
Oh, Eastern Conference Finals for sure. I think the question is whether it's the NBA Finals. I mean, that's really what the goal is here, and certainly they've shown. I think with what they've done with the roster, you got to give that front office a lot of credit. I think a lot of us had questions about John Horst when he first got the job, but he has done a fantastic job with this team to this point. And you really do have to be thinking big. You have to think that that this team has a real shot at the NBA Finals, especially, you know, coming out of that trade deadline. You had obviously a lot of moves at the top of the East, but I think getting Mirotić for them is as good as anything that anybody else did.
Toronto, they make a move. Obviously, you've got the Sixers making a move, getting Tobias Harris. Who right now do you feel is it the Bucks just because of the record? Who is the strongest team in your mind?
Yeah, I think you're probably Toronto. I think they're probably the team to beat because they do have a fair amount of experience on that roster, and you do have a lot of guys who have been through the wars. But they've got some real weak spots. I like what they did with getting Marc Gasol, but I'm still worried about Kyle Lowry. I'm not sure that you know, you look at what he's gone through this year in terms of injuries and how he's played. I'm not sure he's the Kyle Lowry we think of. He's going to the All-Star game, but probably the worst All-Star that I can think of in recent memory. If you look at his numbers and what his production has been, so I'm a little worried about Kyle Lowry for them, and he is absolutely vital. They don't really have any other backup playmakers or anything like that. So that's a real concern for me with Toronto, and I think Milwaukee matches up pretty well with them. So. I think Toronto, just the way that their team is set up, if everybody's healthy, is probably the biggest threat in the East, but I'd put the Bucks right behind them.
We were talking the other day, and I found it interesting. Steve Novak, who used to play for the Bucks and obviously one of their broadcasters now, said it's taken teams with career highs and career threes and such to beat the Bucks. And then it took the Bucks the other night a terrible shooting performance to end up getting beat by Orlando. Is this the only way this team is going to get beat? Because if they just play their best basketball, is there a team that really then, other than maybe, say, Golden State, who can shoot the lights out, if they play their best basketball, is there anybody that can beat them?
Well, I mean, look, if it becomes a shooting contest, if it becomes if you get in the playoffs and it's an up and down sort of thing, then Milwaukee's not going to lose. But what's going to happen, and this is going to be the big challenge for Milwaukee, is defenses are going to change. It's a cliche that defenses step up a little more in the playoffs, but it's a cliche because it's true. I mean, that's really what happens, and coaches start to game plan much more precisely for what you do, for what Milwaukee does. So you'll see more and more teams try to draw Brook Lopez away from the basket, for instance, and try to force them to go small, where some teams feel they might have the advantage, whether it's Philadelphia or Boston or Toronto. So you'll see some of that. You might see some zone defense and really try to pack the paint, take away what Giannis does and force them to be a three-point shooting team. Now, like you say, if the Bucks are making their shots, then zone defense isn't going to help you much, but by forcing that and taking away Giannis a little bit, then you can put some pressure on them. So it's going to be different in the playoffs for sure. But certainly, if they're making their shots, if they're making their threes, then they're pretty unbeatable.
Is Budenholzer the coach of the year right now?
Yeah, I would probably say so. I mean, there's other guys who have a pretty good case. Certainly Mike Malone in Denver. He's done a fantastic job. You can say Billy Donovan has done really a good job, lifting that team to where they are. In spite of a terrible year from Russell Westbrook, the guy just can't hit a shot. Is your star player, but they have a real shot at number two in the Western Conference. So you've got a couple good candidates there. But if I'm looking at it right now, my vote would go to Budenholzer for sure.
Looking at the rest of the NBA, I really like still what they've got going on out west. The Warriors are really solid. Nuggets are solid. Oklahoma City's very solid. We talk a lot about Houston. If they get Chris Paul back, how much does that change Houston if he can make a really solid stretch run?
Yeah, I we haven't seen it from Chris Paul yet. I mean, he's been pretty much hurt for much of the back half of last year and much of this year. So it's hard to say. They're really scrambling to add depth and to address some of the holes in the roster. And this is something that it's basically an experiment that they're trying to do on the fly, trying to add these new pieces and learn each other and be a good team, so that they could be ready for April and May. I don't think it's going to work. I just think that what was so good about them last year was, that they were a cohesive defensive unit, that really gets overlooked, when you're talking about all the 30-point games that James Harden has had. If they can't be, a top 10, top 12 defense like they were last year, then they don't have a shot in the playoffs, and I just don't see them getting to that point.
Can you remember a time when so many owners or people in the league were getting fined for, quote, tampering comments and such?
It's a good question, Bill, because it's something that has happened before, and usually gets sort of swept under the rug, but it's really kind of been brought to the fore lately, because I think a lot of small market teams are pointing it out and being much more adamant about it, and you got the Lakers, and I think Magic Johnson in particular, who doesn't seem to think the rules apply to him the way they apply to everybody else. Who's made a career out of, talking about other players and hyping up other players. I don't think it's necessarily always malicious or anything on Magic Johnson's part, but because it's him, because it's the Lakers, it gets much more attention. So I do think it is happening more. I do think the league is going to address it. It's something that'll surely come up at the All-Star game this weekend, and it's going to be something that Adam Silver talks about, because it's not a good look for the league to have this notion that a guy like Magic Johnson could go around talking about other players and possibly trying to lure them to L.A. And the league really wants to put a cap on that quickly.
So Anthony Davis says he's got a short list of teams if the Pelicans, fail to kind of put things together. And he was talking about the Celtics, the Lakers, the Knicks, and Sixers. He put the Bucks in there as well, which, people were kind of discussing where he would end up. Who do you think ends up with Anthony Davis by the time it's all said and done?
I do think that the Celtics would take the risk, even though his father said, he doesn't want to play for them because of what happened with Isaiah Thomas, which is a bit of a stretch, because any team that would have given Isaiah Thomas a big contract after the injuries that he had with his hip would be crazy and wouldn't be in position to be competing for a championship anyway. So kind of a weird, disingenuous thing to say, if you ask me. But I think the Celtics will take that gamble, and really try to go for it. So I think there's a good chance he winds up in Boston. He wants to go to the Lakers. I think it's more a situation where his agent wants him to go to the Lakers, and he's going along with what his agent says. But it'd be interesting if he does wind up, say, in Boston. Can the Celtics convince him to stay, much like Oklahoma City did with Paul George, and what Toronto's trying to do with Kawhi Leonard?
By the way, we're sitting here talking with Sean Devaney, NBA writer for the Sporting News. Now, getting back to the Milwaukee Bucks, they pick up Mirotić. Everybody seems to think that Mirotić is really going to open up the inside even more for Giannis and give him more scoring opportunities. The way it sits, if Mirotić fits into all of this, how much stronger do you think this team got with bringing him into the fold?
Yeah, I think they had higher expectations from Ilyasova, and he's been up and down, so this this allows them to sort of bump him from the rotation if he doesn't really pull things together. But it also allows them to play Mirotić at center sometimes and go small and really spread the floor. Like I say, I think a lot of teams are going to try to attack Brook Lopez and draw him out. So they're going to have lineups where they go small. You know, maybe Mirotić is technically the power forward and you have Giannis play center. That's something that they've done in the past. I think it just gives them more options and gives them a guy who's got some playoff experience and who has been a very capable shooter and a guy who come in and average 15, 16 points even coming off the bench. They had hopes for Ilyasova in terms of filling that kind of role, but Mirotić is definitely a step up from that.
Great talking to you as always, Sean. We certainly appreciate it going into the NBA All-Star Week, and then we'll talk to you again when we come out of it, okay?
All right, Bill, thanks.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Sean Devaney, NBA writer for the Sporting News, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. All you got to do is call them, 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.